This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 27th, 2009.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The markets didn't do much, but the tone of our analysts seemed to suggest this last week of February to be a pivotal one. We'll ask if that's right or wrong today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. Our panelists today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, along with Mike Georgi of Allendale. The numbers settled on the weekly trade. Remember, we give you the high, the low out of the composite trade. That's day and overnight in a settlement Friday to Friday with the change. March wheat in Chicago for the soft red this week. A high of $5.72, a low at $5.44.5. Settlement price down 4.25 cents at $5.52. July wheat at $5.33.25, 9 cents lower for the week. March corn at 372 top, bottom at 345.25, settled at 350.75, 1.5 cents, actually just a half cent higher for the week. And December futures at 391, they were up a penny and a quarter. March soybean futures 894.5, the high, the low at 851, settlement price at 874.5, 12 higher. November's were down 3 cents at $8.27.5 in the bean pit. Live cattle futures from the CME Group's livestock side, 83.65 for the high, the low at 80.50. February live cattle settled 82.52.5, $1.85 higher. March contract in the feeder cattle at 92.60, up $4.22.5. And the April lean hogs this week, 61.10 the high, the low at 56.90. A settlement price at $60.90. $2.95 higher. March oats, by the way, at $1.84.5, and at 16 cents higher.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open our discussion with this question. Did you turn more friendly or bearish to the commodity markets this week? Paul Cooley.
Well, Todd, the energy market, I see good signs there, but I do see signs that until the new administration gets their political tone set for Wall Street, I think it was kind of a dip in the road in that area.
Matt Bennett?
Well, earlier on in the week, you know, I said we had 3 days in a row where we closed higher in the corn market. I was pretty excited. I was, I guess I spoke a little too soon, though. Pretty tough to feel that good about it after the way yesterday and today went. I would say that I'd lean towards a little more bearish than friendly.
And Mike Georgi.
Well, the markets have reached our projected downtrend or lows in the market. I don't know if I've turned bullish or not. I think we need to have some more bullish news, some better attitude out there in both the financials, energies, and the grains. And you know, we're coming into the planting season, so maybe we'll get a little more focus on it and see if we don't go up from there.
First, this notice as we get started. The crop insurance setting month of February has ended. Well, we cannot report any official RMA numbers, mostly because they weren't reported Friday afternoon, at least that we could find. University of Illinois Ag economist Gary Schnitke sent these figures along. The corn number, $4.04 a bushel. Beans are set at $8.80 again. Those are unofficial averages. Snitsky, by the way, will be on hand at our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. That's the 10th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, to go through those numbers, crop insurance decisions, and how the FarmDoc calculators can be used. You'll likely want to hit that FarmDoc site before then at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Now let's talk about basis. Cash basis for old crop corn and old and new crop soybeans has been very, very good. Does it mean farmers should be taking advantage of current prices to eliminate old crop stocks and potentially use a basis-only contract to begin pricing new crop soybeans?
Well, you know, we are getting a lot of people moving cash grain into the marketplace and replacing it with some sort of a futures option strategy or bull call spreads to replace ownership. My general impression is that we do have a lot of corn. Hopefully the administration will come in, the EPA in particular, with higher blended ethanol and be a little kinder to the American farmer.
I would say that guys sitting on a lot of old crop definitely need to look at pricing in increments. I think this week gave us a good opportunity to price some of that corn. I like Paul's idea of re-owning it in some sort of a option strategy, maybe a bull call strategy. As far as the beans go, that's just a tough call. I mean, I can't get real friendly on beans right now for this year, for the 09 crop year. I have a hard time thinking that we are, or maybe going to just go down from here because of acreage, and, you know, South America is going to come in with a pretty decent crop. So, you know, my recommendation on the 09 beans would be, if nothing else, get some sort of pricing mechanism in place, whether you just protect the downside with a put option or whatnot.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, our recommendations is have all your old crop beans sold and the corn. I think you got to sell your cash, whether all of it or in increments, but I think you got to get rid of it because of the basis, but also because this corn did not go in the bin in a very good quality, and we get in the spring with high moisture and warmer temperatures, we may see a lot of docking if we wait too long.
What do you make of the announcements? And I know they've come in several different places, those Verison plants, only five of them actually got purchased by Valero. That leaves a whole bunch of plants that are left out there. Is that one of those maybe friendly sorts of things? I know it's not friendly long term for the ethanol market for production to go out, but is that one of those friendly things that you're looking forward to to move the market higher?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, it shows the public that the ethanol industry is not dead and gone by the wayside. I mean, you know, the EPA did come out today and say they were going to seriously look at raising the ethanol blend from 10% to 13%, and so you're going to see people that are still interested in it, and it's still the demand for it is there, so not dead.
Yeah, the EPA suggested that, but not for quite some time, two or three years, I think. And then with Verison coming in Valero coming in and buying those Verison plants, and these are on opposite sides of the ledger, at least in as far as I can read it, that means there might be some plants that set idle from the Verison stable, unless, of course, ADM or Cargill or Poet or somebody comes in and buys these plants. How do you balance all of this out in your mind?
I think that it's been speculated for some time that, you know, most of these plants would get bought at some point. Now, I think that maybe just the timing's not right for some of the companies that you just mentioned to step in and buy them. But I do think a functional plant like that, where there has been a substantial investment just to get the plant there, you know, it's not going to sit idle forever. There will be someone step in. And if we do raise the blend rate from 10 to 13 or any as far as that goes, if you know, if this administration shows support for biofuels like we've been, you know, thinking that it would, then I believe that these are going to get bought up and probably all of them will be online at some point.
Matt, you were not very happy with potential for the soybean market this week. Glauber from USDA and the Outlook Forum put some baseline numbers out and what some projections were. Just as a recall, the USDA 08-09 final is at 75.7. for planted acres. They're projected for that's the 07-08. The projected for this year is 77 million acres to be planted by farmers. And then the baseline number on the 10-year average is down at 74 million. Tell me about this year and then further out and how you view those numbers.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit before the show about having less wheat acres planted, and I think that whenever you look at those wheat acres, a lot of times beans are probably going to fit better with the type of ground that we're talking about that didn't get planted to beans. I also think with high input prices, it scared a lot of farmers off from being heavy on corn this year, and I know that input prices have backed off quite a bit, but I still think whenever you look at the insurance price as compared to last year, it's tough for farmers to get too excited about putting the kind of investment into the corn crop. So I think 77 is going to be lower than what we're going to come out with here at the end of this month. That's just my opinion.
Well, I think there's still a lot of characterization that the ag numbers that of acreage both on corn and soybeans is a great big guess at this time. Unfortunately, the soybean market is collapsing due to the general impression that China has temporarily slowed their purchases down in the old crop soybeans. Once again, it's hard to be bullish when everything you look at is so negative. And, of course, the whole economic climate probably destroyed the soybean market more than anything else this week.
What are you hearing from the Home Office about projections for usage worldwide in soybeans? What kinds of things are they talking about? I know they do a lot of economic work.
Well, I mean, you know, we still see that India, China, they still have the demand for feed. They still have the demand for the soybean meal. You know, it's not like they've quit eating. We've seen some slowdown here, but they've kept seeing an increase. Now, what we see is that China, you know, they've bought a lot of beans domestically from their farmers. We may see them plant more beans this year because they are stocking up on a lot of the grains, and they don't have a stock of beans. So, you know, I think the demand worldwide is still out there, but I think they're also working to get themselves in a place that they're not relied on demand from everybody else.
In the next 15 days, and I think I'd like everybody to answer this question, farmers will have to make decisions about crop insurance, which means they're going to make some decisions arbitrarily to some extent, but make some decisions about which commodities they're going to plant and how many acres of each, at least in their minds. I know they won't be locked into it, but they're going to be doing that anyway. So in your mind, what kind of mix do you put in the ground?
Well, my general impression is that the 80 million acres of beans is too many. Our opinion is that people are starting to realize that the corn bean spread is probably not that bad, but it's the cost of fertilizer and inputs. Our general impression is that the Iowa farmer is going to plant more corn. We're going to see the Southern Illinois wheat guy, because of the lack of capitalization to put the crop in, that's the area where we're going to see the bean acreage increase. We understand, talking to the seed industry, there's still about 20% of the acreage is still in up in the air.
It's a loaded question. I think a lot of it depends upon the ground, you know, what type of ground a guy's farming. I think your guys in areas where they can, you know, say it's more highly productive land where they have been doing corn on corn, I really don't see them switching from that a lot. But I do think in the marginal areas, you know, I think that the exodus from planting corn will be fairly significant as well. I would say, you know, a guy in good ground is still probably going to be two-thirds a third, just to address the percentage question. But the guy in the marginal, I don't think he plants half corn this year.
You know, we've done some outlook meetings the last couple weeks and month here, and I think the Central Illinois farmers they're sticking with their 50-50 rotation. The guys that have gone to more corn on corn the last couple years may slack back on that a little bit, and that's where I think you are going to have the lower corn acres, and the bean acre is definitely going to be higher than what the USDA come out with.
Last question before we go into break. The farmer has corn in the bin. What does he do with it at this time? Short answers.
Like I said earlier, get rid of it. Put it to cash.
Sell it and buy an option if he thinks it's going higher.
right out of the money calls.
All right. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. He is out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. By the way, he'll join us at our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. More about that right now.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. The 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting may be our best ever. Featured analysts include Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, University of Illinois Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. That's March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting. The Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Overall, February has turned out to be slightly warmer than normal with near normal precipitation. However, this week's temperatures have been running 8 degrees below average. Marseilles even reported a low of minus 3 back on February 20th. However, we saw a warm up on Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the 50s and 60s. Most of the precipitation this week fell in northern Illinois as a major storm system rolled through the state last weekend, dropping 1 to 2 tenths of an inch of precipitation. Another storm system moved through the state on Thursday and Friday, bringing widespread rain with some locally heavy amounts of 1 to 2 inches. Snowfall was reported throughout much of northern Illinois this week. The heaviest amounts were in the Chicago area. Barrington had the largest total of 6 inches. Next week, we expect highs in the 30s and 40s and lows in the teens and 20s, pretty normal for this time of year. Our next chance of precipitation looks to be on Tuesday as another system moves through the state. The week after next is expected to be both warmer and wetter than normal. Now that we're at the end of February, we can expect winter to start to wind down. While we may still see some snow and cold temperatures in March, we should also start seeing more and more of the mild weather. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm state climatologist Jim Angel.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 27th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Mike Giorgi of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois. Our guest is Glenn Ring. He's president of Glenn Ring Enterprises, which, of course, focuses on providing information and education, research, and support for traders, analysts, and other participants in the futures industry. Glenn produces the biweekly View on Futures newsletter and the View on Futures daily update. And most importantly, he'll be one of several featured speakers at our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting the 10th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Glenn, thanks for being with us.
Well, I hope I'm. It's a good thing considering the marketplace, but it's always good to visit.
Last year at our March Outlook, you saw a queue, I think it was in the gold market, that caused you to pronounce the beginning of the end. The market then rallied like a son of a gun, or at least for a few months, and then it folded, so I guess we can call you right, Glenn. What are you watching today?
Well, I'm watching today the stock market, the currency markets, and gold. and none of them paint a very pretty picture right now for the commodity outlook. Now, I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be looking at some lows before March is over in the grains. The question I have, though, is how low is low? And I don't think we're going to know that to see until we see how the marketplace handles the closes we had this week and this month in the stock market.
Glenn, nice to talk to you. The big thing I wanted to ask is a lot of people feel that, could you give your characterization, which country is the strongest and which country is the weakest as far as the economic situation is concerned in the world?
The only answer I have that is you have the weak and you have the weaker. Nobody's strong, in my view, right now. I think the world is having to go through a form of Chapter 11 reorganization in the economy. We have we're in the process of undoing a 50-year credit expansion, and you don't undo that in a year or two.
Glenn, whenever you look at the way that stuff closed today, like you said, we got to see what happens this next week. But, you know, if we're going to be putting lows in corn, if you're talking to one of these guys like we were talking earlier that's trying to make decisions right now, how do you talk to him as far as, you know, if he wants to stay heavy corn like he has been the last couple of years? You know, I've been telling guys if they would be a patient seller and put something underneath the market, that'd be a good way to approach it. But how would you advise them?
Well, first of all, just to be clear, I don't give advice. I give information. But how I would do it and how I've been doing it is having people evaluate themselves for what I call consequence risk. The consequence risk we face is with the stock markets closing below 11-year support. We're closing below the 2002 lows for the week and for the month. Now, we're closing below what I call GAN work or mathematical support. All of these look bad. I mean, I've got the Dow has opened up potential to below 6,000. How is the marketplace going to handle that? And that's called the consequence risk. If we happen to get there in a hurry, say we get there during the month of March, then I tell people you better be prepared for corn to be as low as, you know, December corn as low as 290, 260, even 250 during March. I said, but on the other hand, in a way I would embrace that because I finally think then we'd be at some point where I could re-own things that we've sold. So people have to decide for themselves is what I'm telling them, how much consequence risk they can take. Under a normal circumstance, I would be looking for the grain markets, something like corn, which I think will probably be the weakest on the short term in the next few weeks, to retest their lows from last fall, and then probably get a recovery back pretty close to where we were this winter for highs, maybe slightly higher. And, you know, this is one of the most difficult years to figure because last year was easy for me. When I have a parabolic rise like we had last year in the commodity world, history's behind me, you know, that we're going to come down 75% of what we went up and that kind of stuff. We've done that in most markets. Now the question is what follows that kind of year? And it's one of the least predictable years, but it typically is a very volatile year, choppy, you know, swings of a few months at a time, and then you're done. So, you know, I'm looking for lows in March if all goes well, swings back up to around the 1st of May, and then we'll see what we get.
What something you said kind of got my attention was you said you thought corn would be the weakest here. Why do you say that? Because I guess with the acreage report possibly coming out and being bullish, and you know, not this week, but exports the last 5 weeks have been good. Why do you see corn as the weakest one?
Partially because of the little bit of a bounce that we've just gotten in here, relative to the beans and meal. I mean, they've had some pretty sharp breaks, relatively speaking. But I have weekly cycle lows that have been working quite well for me that are due the third week of March in corn and wheat, and there's actually three different sets of weekly cycles I'm running. This one's been the most dominant. If we could get a washout into that time frame, number one. Number two, likely to be triggered somewhat by fear from the stock market, and also I think triggered by what appears to be an upside breakout in the dollar index developing. If we can scare the market down into a bit of a washout of that time frame, it's all those pieces put together is why I think that. And I also think that the pessimism in beans has been slightly higher than corn, so maybe we need to reverse that for the temporary basis.
Glenn, in the stock market, in your newsletter earlier in the week, I think maybe you thought the stock market was going to collapse on Tuesday, if I remember right. How much if you were looking at it at the present time, you know, my theory is that a watch pot very seldom boils. You know, a lot of people are out of the stock market. The week longs are out. Mm-hmm. But where would you – what kind of a dip in the day? Do you think it's going to be a 200-point dip or a 300-point dip? A thousand's a little severe, but do you think it's all going to take place in one day or is it several days?
To get down?
Yeah,
it acts to me like now that we're going to go into – actually we're going to a slow bleed. And that kind of defies logic on breaking out below these lows. I actually think that there's a good chance that if we don't reject this thing early next week, that we could be spending the better part of the next year, year and a half, between 7,400 and 5,800 Dow, maybe even lower.
What did you think of the Obama stimulus package and how it impacts anything?
Don't get me started.
Okay.
It's about as wealth-destructing as I can find. And I've actually been, had an open mind to see what he can do. And right now, this approach does not stimulate business. It's already got me. I'm looking down the road at thinking about cutting back rather than expanding.
Glenn, whenever you look at the corn market to go further into this, you know, if we're going to slide, I guess I follow up with Mike, and I get everything you're saying as to why we're going to slide down here.
Yeah.
But so how do you approach this market? And I know you're, I'm not asking you to give advice here. I'm just saying, at what point in here do you go ahead and put strategies on to capture, if we do have a washout, obviously we're going to bounce back up at some point.
Well,
you know,
careful on the obviously part, but yes, probably will.
Most of the times we do, it seems like. So at what point do you come in here and you put, maybe you reverse, a little bit of bearishness towards bullishness?
Well, first of all, you look at the marketplace and how almost nothing has had any kind of robust bounces after the declines we've had from last summer. So right now the marketplace doesn't tell me to be optimistic on that degree. But, again, I actually look to turn around in here. I've got some stuff just sold this week, by customers. I know they've been selling. I sold some this week in here. And on the idea that I don't know how much down I'm going to get in the next few weeks, but if we get started down, I'm just going to ride it. And then in the third week of March, I'm planning on taking it off. And if we are more or less holding the fall lows, I'm going to start nibbling on the long side for the first time. And mostly to offset hedges or, forward sold grain and stuff like that for my farm customers, well, that's what we're going to start looking at doing there. So I'm doing it much off of timing and seeing where the price is at. Something like 3.25 in the July corn in that area. If we get there by the third week in March, during the third week of March, I'd be very interested in taking a look at that.
Yeah, I'm kind of following up with this. We know it kind of looks like doom and gloom. There's no good news out there. Everybody's bearish. Mm-hmm. And, you hear the words, well, if the crude oil market recovers, corn's going to come back. What do you see as the one thing that's going to be the leader or going to help this market turn around and go to the upside?
Final
I think
answer
in
short.
If we intensify pessimism and we flush it out even more, is probably the best thing that helps it to go to the upside. Now, I'm not saying that the grain markets need a lot more flushing, but I think that's if we can overdo it, we can get it rolling right now. I think also the thing that would be a catalyst for it is we have the dollar index closing basically matching its highest weekly close in about 3 years today. Now, it's matching it, hasn't cleared it. If the dollar were to reverse from here, it does have room to have a pretty good break. If that happens, we could stimulate quite a bounce, for a month and a half.
Glenn, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. He'll be with us over at the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, as will all of our panelists, including Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, Mike Georgie of Allendale, and Matt Bennett of Windsor Grain. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great week.